Good day and welcome back to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. It's lovely to have you here. SMEs, I hope that you are really growing your businesses, really working hard and making some good dollars out of it. Today we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic. We're going to be talking about SME engagement with multinational corporations, and it's a fascinating topic. As SMEs, we all always want to know how to work with them better. Are there any tips of the that we can use, any tricks that we can use? I'm Catherine Young, you know me well by now, but more importantly, my guest in studio today. It is an absolute privilege to welcome you, Prof. Welcome. Can you introduce yourself to the cameras?
Sure. Hello, everyone. I'm Shamin Prashantham. I'm an associate professor at China-Europe International Business School in Shanghai. It is an absolute privilege to be here in Africa. This is my first visit here, and I'm enjoying being here in Johannesburg and learning more about what multinationals are doing to engage with smaller companies. This is something that I have been researching for a while. I'm originally from India. I spent the majority of my adult life in the UK, and now I live in China, which is very exciting as someone who does research at the intersection of international business and entrepreneurship. And I've been thinking about this topic and doing research about how smaller firms and multinationals engage with each other for a while now. So I'm delighted.
It's a lovely topic, and I really look forward to having this discussion with you. So, Prof. Prashantham, I want you to tell us a little bit more about the meaning of your surname.
Well, the name means peace. Yeah. There are many words in Indian languages, Shanti probably being the most commonly known ones, so the Shant and Prashantham is really peace.
Absolutely love that. And thank you for bringing that into studio today as we cover this topic. So, Prof, you've been doing a lot of research, and you have come up with this concept at the end of many years and continuous research of dancing with gorillas. Mm-hmm. I love the topic, the name, but can you talk to us just a little bit about what that is, because we're going to delve into the detail more?
Sure. So with smaller companies, what you typically find is to be able to innovate, to be able to grow, they often have to work with others because they lack the resources to do it themselves. When I was doing my doctoral research 2002 to 2005, I was interested in how smaller companies go international using network relationships, and I was looking at how they look overseas for these networks. For example, how they might tap into diaspora networks and so on. But after that, when I started thinking about what I might be doing in my postdoctoral research, it occurred to me that maybe it would be possible for these smaller companies to look at home for relationships that were inherently international. And so this was about 2006, and both in Scotland, where I was based at the time, as well as Bangalore, where a lot of my doctoral work had been done, I began to notice that some smaller companies were trying to do innovative things and build their products on the platforms of larger multinationals. So you could, in theory, be a small company in Edinburgh, build links with Sun Microsystems, which then had this, and still has this big facility in Linlithgow, and try and use that as a basis to then grow further, innovate, and so on. Similarly, you could be a small company in Bangalore and build a relationship with Microsoft India, which had has its headquarters in Bangalore, and then internationalize on the back of that. And I was beginning to think about this, and I was wondering whether this might be worthy of further study. And so I posed a question to a famous professor, the late C.K. Prahlad, at a conference. And I asked him, do you think this is an interesting phenomenon to be looking at? And he said, well, actually, I think for many small companies, they don't have a choice. They have to learn to dance with the big gorilla. So I latched onto that phrase. And so when I say dancing with gorillas, I mean smaller companies partnering with large multinationals in the pursuit of innovation, growth.
I absolutely love that, because it's as a small business owner and as working with many small businesses, that's often a dilemma we face with the SMEs that we mentor, because they don't quite know how. They don't quite know what the risks are. They know that if they get it right, there's a lot of opportunity, but it gets very muddled for them in how to do that, especially those who've maybe not come from a corporate background, etc. It feels like this big gorilla and how to face it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when I think about my research, I think, you know, you can think about three broad areas.
Right.
One is the idea of recognizing the benefits of engaging with multinationals or smaller companies.
Right.
But secondly, at the same time, recognizing the big challenges, and you've already alluded to some of those. And finally, to then think about, so what can you do? What should you do as a small company?
Yeah.
And the watchword there is being proactive.
Yes.
So we can talk about that in greater detail.
Yeah.
So if I were to just say a little bit about why I think it's a good idea for small companies to at least consider the prospect of working with multinationals, particularly in emerging markets.
Yeah.
But I think this applies in most contexts as well. There are three things that come to mind. One of these issues is the fact that to develop a technological solution that is going to be successful in the long term, one needs to overcome some of the deficiencies in terms of the technical know-how that is locally available.
Yes.
And learn new things.
Yes.
And so, for example, it might help a smaller company to develop their minimum viable product, as you know, some people call it.
Yep.
And getting access to tools from multinationals, and now many multinationals offer their software tools and other things like this free of charge through various programs.
Right.
Now, of course, the way I'm talking about this, viewers might think this is only relevant to software companies, but of course there are all kinds of industries where you still need very important technological inputs into what you're doing. You need to have a social media strategy alongside what you're doing. So, you know, in one way or the other, technology is so pervasive these days that, you know, there are benefits to be had. So I see learning, gaining new technological input as an important thing.
Yeah.
Another important issue.
And it's to the benefit of the multinational as well, right? Because
their
product gets learned, and so they could eventually get more sales, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is absolutely correct.
Right.
Another important issue is smaller companies struggle to get taken seriously, and this becomes problematic, for example, when you're looking for funding and so on. So how do you build more legitimacy? And again, being associated with a large multinational can help in that regard. And finally, I find, especially when smaller companies are trying to go after enterprise customers, it's again very difficult to get traction. And I think working with multinationals often leads to useful leads.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you couldn't realistically expect a multinational to sell your product for you.
Of course.
But, you know, you can get very useful leads simply because, as you indicated earlier, it could be a win-win for the multinational.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. Channel marketing is, for those of you who have not looked at our channel marketing MBA, go and refresh your memory on that, because it speaks to a little bit of this, but the prof is just really explaining it in much more detail. But it is exactly that. It's to the benefit of both the SME and the channel at large and the multinational. Just coming back to the point that you made around the legitimacy, we often, when we work with SMEs and we mentor SMEs, we say to them, if you have had dealings with Microsoft, or you've had dealings with Amazon, or whoever that is, shout about that. Not in an arrogant way, but in an honest way. So if you've done dealings with Microsoft, whether it's for $100 or $100,000, that's neither here nor there. You've dealt with Microsoft, because it helps with the legitimacy. What do you think of that?
I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think, in fact, there are when smaller firms are further down the road and they actually become part of some of the formal partner programs, there are ways in which you can be certified as a partner.
Right.
So you can actually put a logo that says Gold Certified Microsoft Partner, and that makes a big difference, I think. But if you haven't quite got to that stage, even so, I would fully concur with what you're saying. So I was in Bangalore last week doing interviews. I met this startup called iRef.
Yes.
And they have experienced the Microsoft Accelerator in Bangalore.
Right.
They went through it.
Right.
And they have Microsoft's logo on their webpage, along with a couple of others that they have worked with.
Love it.
And in fact, how I identified them to include them in my research in the first place was I was doing searches on search engines looking for startups working with multinationals. And I found their webpage with Microsoft's logo and a couple of other logos. And I reached out to them. And when I was talking to the guy, he said, actually, that is the same reason why many customers come to us in the first place. Mm. They see you know, a bunch of companies offering similar things, but then they look at these multinational logos at the bottom of our web page and think, oh, these guys should be taken seriously.
I absolutely love that. That's why I'm smiling. It's honestly, for SMEs who are scared of doing that, there is such benefit, as the prof has just explained, that you should get over the fear of that. The other advice I really want to give is, if you are not the right person in your small business to deal with the corporates, because they deal in a specific way, then get somebody else to do it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you don't have to, as the business owner, necessarily do that if you don't have the patience or the skill to do so. But there is work to be had with the multinationals.
Yes.
What about the challenges? I mean, SMEs feel challenges, right? Can you give us a couple?
Yes. I mean, the thing to understand is, while on paper, this is a marriage made in heaven in the sense that smaller companies are known to be agile, nimble, creative.
Yes.
Big multinationals have the resources, the reach, and so on. I think are increasingly accepting that you know, they don't have all the answers. They aren't able to move at the pace on all on all fronts as they would ideally like.
Yeah. Yeah.
In reality, it's extremely difficult to work together because you are just so different from each other.
Yeah.
So there are all kinds of challenges that this may pose. You know, there are big differences in terms of what these different partners want from each other. But I mean, if you step back, actually, the starting point is smaller companies know who the big multinationals are. The big multinationals don't necessarily know who you are. So, you know, they are not aware of you. And it's very difficult for you to get their attention. More importantly, to get the attention of the right people within multinationals. Mm. Then you have the problem that there are different goals, you know. So big multinationals often want to leverage the capabilities they have.
Yeah.
Smaller companies are trying to develop new capabilities, resources, products, and so on. And the time horizons for planning are also quite different. Small companies often have their survival at stake and need quick decisions, whereas big companies, even with the best intentions, often are much slower in terms of decision making. And also, you don't have congruent organizational structures at all. So, you know, when big companies do business with big companies, it's not very difficult for vice president marketing to pick up the phone and speak to his or her counterpart in another big company, and the call will probably be accepted. In small companies, people are often wearing multiple hats, and, you know, it becomes not very easy. I think, Catherine, you actually indicated that one of the issues in all of this is smaller companies, because of all of these barriers, and because in many cases don't have first-hand experience of having previously engaged with multinationals, struggle to understand the big multinational.
That's right.
Now, what I have found to often make a difference is when someone in the small company has had prior corporation experience before, and even more specifically, when they've actually worked for the company that they're engaging with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was recently talking to someone who had been involved in founding a small tech company in Western Africa. He was ex-Microsoft.
Okay.
And his company was able to work very well with Microsoft, but they had a head start in a way over some of their peers, because this guy knew exactly whom to speak to. He knew what buttons to press, if you will. And they ended up being Microsoft Partner of the Year in Ghana, as well as Cote d'Ivoire for many years running. So, now, that's a luxury not all companies
yes.
have.
Yes.
But I think if at least you recognize that maybe such input will help, then you will look for people who can help to bridge. And it might be people who help you on an ad hoc basis as a consultant, or you might actively want to hire people bearing this in mind.
I so fully agree with you. What we're also finding is that some SMEs are so in love with their product that they would go to a multinational and go and sell this product, but completely forget about what you've just said, the differing goals of the two organizations, the non-congruent structures. And what we try and teach and try and work out for ourselves, because we sometimes fall into this trap ourselves, is to just step back, breathe, and understand the structures in which you have to work. So it's not wanting to change the multinational at all, but it's wanting to work with them and then gently show them things that they weren't aware of only because of the corporate structures. I fully agree with you. It just helps if you either know somebody on the inside with a corporate, with a corporation, or if you have come from that. So another tip, I don't know if you found this, it would be interesting to know if you found this anywhere else in the world, but what I'm seeing, some clever SMEs that we're working with in Africa have actually gone to some of the corporations, identified some people in the corporation to say, hey, come on to my into my business as a non-executive board member, or come in as a mentor. I don't have to pay you, no money has to, but it's for that that person in the multinational to get an insight for the of the SME's business, and they just become ambassadors. Don't know if you've seen that.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm very glad you brought this up. This whole notion of working with mentors and advisors. And I find in China and India, and I imagine it's not going to be very different in South Africa, people with experience are willing and keen to give back.
So right.
And when they have experience of large corporations and so on, you know, they are able to make such a big difference. Also, in some cases, they are returnees, so they will have spent some years abroad, in some cases even in the Bay Area. And when they come back, they just bring with them so much insight into how markets behave, how partners are likely to behave, what to look for. And this can make a big difference on a number of counts, including the ability to pitch oneself appropriately to multinationals and engage with them, you know.
I love what you're saying. Yes. I just absolutely love what you're saying. Take that advice from the prophet. Really is just go and see if you can identify people within the multinationals who could maybe be of service to you. So we've now worked through why engaging with multinationals is really of benefit to the SMEs and the challenges that we could experience, like their structures or the lack of the awareness or the differing goals. Give us some lessons for startups.
Sure. Right. And but, you know, we're recognizing that this isn't easy.
Yeah.
So first of all, simple though this may sound, recognize that there is an opportunity. And this stems from the fact that multinationals are willing to engage more than ever before. Now, what you might also not realize is that small companies often underestimate what they have to offer. One of the things they are very good at doing is picking up on locally relevant opportunities, right? So there are certain opportunities that may be very specific to a context, say because of a new policy measure that the government has introduced, or because of certain needs that are very local. And you might be able to pick up on those more readily than a big multinational. And then if you're able to show that there could be a win-win for the multinational by working together, then you know you might be able to benefit from it and do so in collaboration with a multinational. Let me give you an example from China. Now, most people, when they think of China, think about the big cities like Beijing, Shanghai, and so on. But there are smaller cities where governments are actually very active in trying to do things to develop their local economies. In fact, in Zhejiang province, smaller companies are well known for being very enterprising.
Yeah.
And I have come across in that province a local government actually subsidizing small manufacturing companies to adopt new technology. Now, one small local company that was a software company picked up on this and went to a large European multinational and said, you know, this is exactly the kind of technology that makes sense for you. Why don't we work together for this? Mm. Because we have the local government connections and we understand what's happening on the ground and we understand the SMEs. Mm. Because this was a European multinational whose major clients were all very big.
Right.
And so then the smaller company actually had something pretty significant to offer. And the European company worked with them first on a small basis on a pilot project, found that it worked very well, and then kept extending the engagement.
I absolutely love that. Yeah. There's an African example that I'm thinking of. In South Africa specifically, there are codes called the triple BEE codes, and it is a requirement of multinationals to report specific information in a specific way. And there was a local South African company who identified something similar and understood that the multinationals wouldn't be quick enough in being able to. So that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
And he actually went with a solution to a multinational to say, hey, I'll build it. You plug it into your bigger offer to your enterprise customers and we can sell this. I think that's valuable, valuable information. So SMEs, go and think about your local geographies. Think about the gaps that you could understand the most, the best, much more so than multinationals. And Prof, what you're then saying is get into contact.
Exactly. Which leads me on very nicely to the second lesson, which is also think about which multinational makes sense to engage with. Because there are a number of multinationals out there, and depending on the specific opportunity you're pursuing, some are more relevant than others, so there might be a better technological fit. In the example I gave you, you know, that small company probably had greater access to another American company, which was locally based, but recognized that that wasn't quite the right company for this opportunity, and then had to make efforts to go looking for that the European company that they ended up working with. You know, there has to be a fit in terms of geography as well. How active is the multinational in that part of the world? Also, in terms of the various partnering initiatives that they have, different multinationals might be more or less suitable depending on the stage of the life cycle in which you're operating in as a small company. So some multinationals are very good in terms of working with early stage SMEs, and some are much more interested in working with more mature smaller companies, and their partnering programs are geared for those. So I guess the second idea is ensure you're working with the right partner, and that says you need to do your homework and understand very clearly before you make you know, a lot of effort getting a partnership. That also says, you know, you might have to do a little bit of engagement, low-level engagement with a number initially to understand more clearly what they are about. And you might find that it makes sense to partner with a multinational at one point in time and another at a different point in time. And in some cases, you can do that without necessarily having to deal with a conflict of interest. And in some cases it does. So you know, you can navigate around that. But the key thing is to recognize who you're dealing with, what they have to offer, what types of partnering initiatives they have, and also for your particular part of the world, you know, what is it?
Geographically.
Who is it that is really committed to this geography and would be good to work with.
As you're explaining that, I'm thinking there's one thing that as SMEs we often don't get time to do, and that is to literally research the opportunities, to understand the multinationals. So as SMEs, as you know, we always say you work half day anyway, doesn't matter which 12 hours of the day, but the reality is that use the time that you're off to understand this better. It will serve your business so well in future. What about a win-win for both sides?
Yes. So that takes me nicely onto to my third and in some ways the critical thing, which is I think small companies need to recognize that you are competing with other companies for limited attention, managerial attention that a multinational has. And many small companies would love to work with multinationals. There are ways in which a number of companies can engage with a multinational in a somewhat shallow way, but the real payoff comes when the engagement is more deep. So here you are really trying to get the attention of people that matter, and you have to do that in competition with other smaller companies, other companies in general. So this is where, as you say, Catherine, a win-win becomes really critical. And I would say not just a win-win, but also trying to think about a clear, tangible outcome that can be achieved in a relatively short period of time. And this often involves doing something that is of high priority to that multinational. So to give you an example of this, a small company in Beijing called Gritsum a few years ago was engaging with Microsoft. And when Silverlight was introduced, recognized that if they moved quickly and built an interesting app on top of Silverlight, it would get the attention of Microsoft. And at this point, Microsoft was really keen to find success stories in China, which they could showcase to the market, and it became a win-win. But not only was it a win-win, it was a very tangible outcome. It didn't take forever to achieve. And then once this was in the bag, then Gritsum could rapidly build on this to have a succession of wins. Sometimes I find smaller companies engaging in a very open-ended way, and then 10 months down the road, realize they have nothing to show for it. Now, it doesn't often happen, but sometimes the priorities of the multinational might change, and then they may pull the plug on a project simply because they have moved on. But if you were very focused on getting something tangible done in a time-bound fashion, you will still have something to show for it that you might be, and so you're not left empty-handed in this way.
Brilliant advice once again. So do you, as SMEs, do you know the multinationals around you, what their focus is? Do you understand what their imperatives are? I mean, that, Prof, as you were speaking, I was asking these questions for my own business. You know, do I know that? Can I go and target that? Is there something I can bring to the table quickly that is of value and doesn't take a long time to implement? So really good questions for us to ask ourselves as SMEs. Then the location thing. Can we just speak a little bit more in detail about adapting to the location?
Right. So, you know, I think the three principles that we talked about, which was recognize the opportunity, work with the right multinational, and try and achieve a clear, tangible win, are sort of general pieces of advice. But how this plays out can be affected significantly by where you are based as a small company. Now, I find big differences between advanced economy markets and emerging economy markets. Emerging markets have certain challenges in the sense that the level of know-how perhaps isn't as sophisticated and so on, but it has the advantage of being seen as the markets that have the capability to provide real growth. So, you know, that there's an upside there in the sense that multinationals are trying to engage. So, you know, that's all to the good. Now, within emerging markets again, there are differences between locations like Bangalore in India, Beijing in China, I guess Johannesburg in South Africa, where a lot of the big companies are concentrated. So then the question becomes, what if, for whatever reason, you aren't based in one of these, what I call high reputation locations? And I feel quite strongly about this. I was born in a city in India that only became a city a couple of years ago, and I lived for most of my adult life in Glasgow in Scotland, which is a fantastic city, but it ain't London or Cambridge. And my introduction to China for 4 years was in a city called Ningbo, which is well known for its entrepreneurship in general, but not high technology entrepreneurship. So now, if you were an entrepreneur in places like these, what do you do? And in fact, a lesson that came out from what I observed in Ningbo was, you look for non-obvious opportunities, which means it might not be the case that a multinational has put forward explicitly a partnering initiative, it might not be that you are going directly to work with a multinational, but things might be happening locally which allow you to make connections to a multinational if you figure out what's going on. So let me give you an example from Ningbo. Every city in China, and these days most cities in the bigger economies in the world, have what's called a smart city initiative, which is really an effort to improve the services being offered to citizens by using digital technology. So in China, this is really big. Every city worth its name has a smart city initiative. So does Ningbo. Well, the clever thing about the Ningbo initiative was it actually provided an opportunity for smaller companies that were alert to this possibility to work with multinationals. So here's how it worked. The city government decided to take the entire smart city pie and break it up into a small number of big pieces. And award an entire piece to one company. So in this way, they were able to attract the attention of big companies. But they also knew that no single company would be able to deliver the whole thing on their own. They would have to work with local companies. In Ningbo, this means SMEs very often, and they would then get exposure to work with smaller companies. So this is exactly what happened with the logistics piece, which was the first to be awarded to a company. So IBM came in, set up a research lab, and then started building solutions around logistics. So Ningbo has a very big port, for example, so they were trying to build cloud-based solutions. Now, because of restrictions due to Chinese law and so on, they very early on had to start working with local small companies. So in fact, two types of interesting opportunities emerged. One, a small company was set up from scratch to work closely with IBM.
With IBM,
this was
yeah.
a local small company. And someone from IBM was brought in to run that small company. And so they had an excellent working relationship with IBM and came up with a pilot scheme that attracted global attention within IBM. A second, and in some ways even more important consequence was other local small companies then had an easier conduit into IBM through this local small company. And so that initial pilot solution needed an internet control lock to be able to secure the trucks in a cold storage chain that was that was relevant to this solution. And IBM doesn't do internet control locks.
Of course.
They ended up working with this really small Chinese company that got this opportunity and was able to work with IBM through that other sort of interfacing company in a way that you would not have thought possible in a relatively less important from a technological standpoint city. So the overall lesson is you need to be looking for these non-obvious opportunities. It's definitely harder when you're not in one of the main technological hubs. But I think it isn't impossible. You know, especially when you're looking out for these non-obvious opportunities.
Absolutely love that. I'm thinking as you were speaking, we had a recent drought in South Africa, and there were a couple of small towns in the country who were without water for days at an end. And that really, and the local government, local municipalities were saying, how do they address this issue on a much bigger scale? How do they get indication of dam levels, et cetera, et cetera? So I think what I'm understanding you saying is, as a small company in a not so great hub, you could identify opportunities that need to be solved. And then through that, work with the corporations to get access to that market. I love it. Let's wrap on the key messages. So there are a couple of key messages that we've spoken about. It's been a I stopped to ask questions at a point because I was learning so much through this conversation. It's been a fascinating learning. It really gives good hope for SMEs who are listening to this video today that you can access multinationals, you can access these corporations. But what the prof's teaching us is that we've got to be clever in the way we go about it. Wrap up for me. What are the key messages?
So maybe let me first of all clarify what I'm not saying. Okay, I'm not saying that working with multinationals is easy. I'm not even saying it's for everyone. But I'm saying that it is an opportunity that exists that sometimes smaller companies are oblivious to. Mm. Now, taking advantage of this, however, isn't easy. It's not for the faint-hearted, yeah. as I often say. Yeah. You know, you've got to be very proactive, very persistent, and it takes a lot of effort. But what I have observed over the past 10 years since, yeah. you know, 2006, when I sort of coined that term, dancing with gorillas, yeah. based on the chance throwaway remark of that professor,
yeah.
is that multinationals have increased there's more on offer, to put it
yeah.
put it simply, you know, or to use that dancing metaphor, there are more and better moves on the part
of
multinationals, and
yeah.
you know, they're broadening the dance floor. Mm. You know, it's becoming more global, and things are happening all over the world. So there's an opportunity, at the very least, worth considering. And for those small companies that are successful in dancing with gorillas effectively, the payoff can be tremendous. Mm. And I wish you all very good luck in being one of those that is fortunate to have that outcome.
Thank you so very much. That has been absolutely fascinating. We've got some other resources that we would like to direct you to. If you can just follow with us on the screen, go and check out Dancing with Gorillas under the www.aimresearch.org. The link is there. Also, make sure to go and check out the Best for Africa interview with Prof. And we've got the link below. 10 tips for SMEs as they prepare to approach multinationals. Make sure you look at whitebull.com. And lastly, how startups from emerging economies can make inroads abroad. Make sure to go and check out those links. It's fascinating. And hope when we speak next, you have considered your first multinational to target. Until next time, from the studio, goodbye.